Instead of thanking God, you can thank other people. I was reading the article written by an atheist that was trying to do away with Thanksgiving. And the atheist said this: sports teams should thank parents, coaches, and teammates who helped them develop their skills and thus made the victory possible. Accident survivors should thank the engineers who designed vehicles to help people survive accidents. Parents of sick children should thank medical professionals who spend hours using skills developed over a lifetime.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Who Do the Unbelievers Thank? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Who Do the Unbelievers Thank?
If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to ask that you would open to the 100th Psalm. Psalm 100, and in the 100th Psalm, the psalmist proclaims, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, it is he who hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. The Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And I want to focus this morning on the fourth verse in particular, where the psalmist says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Years ago, when I first came to Bethany, going on 19 years now, that was a long time ago, I preached a message, and the title of that message is, Who Do the Unsaved Thank? And I really was troubled by Thanksgiving and the question that was on my heart is, well, you know, I see people, both Christian and non-Christian, believer and unbeliever, saved and not saved, all celebrating Thanksgiving, and I question in my mind, who do people that don't know Christ, people that are not children of God, who do they thank? And I preached that message years ago, and I just want to say, as a result of some recent study, I found the answer to my question. So this morning, I want to deal with the topic, who do unbelievers thank? Who do unbelievers thank? The bank that I do business with in this time of economic turmoil, they have gotten rid of the people that are at the window. You remember how you, in some banks you can still do that, drive up to the window and you can see the person in there and they'll speak and greet you, and then you put your tube in there and send it in, and they do the transaction, then they wave and smile and, you know, tell you thank you. Well, you know, the bank, one of the banks that I do business at, they don't do that. All you do is put your tube in the machine and it goes off, and then they send it back. Well, in the days before that actually was the deal, and the way that things were done, there was one of these drive-through banks where they were having some problems, and they weren't able to process people's requests right there, that they had to actually send them into the bank. And so the lady, she was used to somebody being right there to speak to her. So as she drove up, there was just a sign that said, put your tube in the machine. And so she put her tube in the machine and sent it in. And a few minutes later, her tube came back. She took her money out, put it in her purse, and put the tube back in, and with a puzzled look, she said, thank you, whoever's back there. And as I think about people that don't know God, they must feel somewhat like that lady felt, you know, wanting to say thank you, wanting to express some gratitude for a service that had been rendered, but who do I thank? And, you know, I wrestled with that for years because I said, well, you know, if you don't thank God, then there's nobody else to thank. But as I began to study this thing out, I found out that there are other things and people that we can thank other than God. And then when we begin to thank them, we miss the whole point of what Thanksgiving is all about. As we move into the sermon today, the first thing that I wanted to say is that who do the unbelievers thank? Well, you can thank other people. Instead of thanking God, you can thank other people. I was reading the article written by an atheist that was trying to do away with Thanksgiving. And the atheist said this: sports teams should thank parents, coaches, and teammates who helped them develop their skills and thus made the victory possible. Accident survivors should thank the engineers who designed vehicles to help people survive accidents. Parents of sick children should thank medical professionals who spend hours using skills developed over a lifetime. So when you want to get away from not thanking God, when you don't want to give God his due, you can thank people. During Thanksgiving, you can sit around the table, you can invite a bunch of people over to your house, and you can just begin to thank them one by one. Thank you for what you've done. But we're still missing something. We're still missing something. Not only can you thank people, but I found that you can thank goodness. Some people say, when they don't want to use God, they say, well, I just thank goodness. And this is a way of them being able to look back and reach and say, well, you know, there's just goodness. There's goodness all around us, that people are good and that things are good. And when good things happen to us, we just need to thank goodness. And maybe that's where some of God's people are sometimes. They don't want to acknowledge God. They don't want to thank God. They just want to thank goodness. Some people want to thank luck. They believe that we are here as a result of chance, that we are here as a result of an evolutionary process of some molecules bumping together and creating life, and that life became a little tadpole in the water and eventually sprouted fins and began to grow legs and then walked up and on the ground and started to walk with on all fours and then began to straighten up and walk with two legs and then lost his tail and became a professor teaching at a university. Now, see, I can say that because I teach at a college, all right? So I'm not trying to offend anybody. But people, now how intellectual does that sound? And so what do they say? Well, they say whatever happens to us happens by chance. And we are merely victims of a random universe where things just happen by chance. And if good things happen to you, then you have just been lucky. Just thank luck that you are the way that you are. I found that some people thank the stars. You've heard the expression, I thank my lucky stars. Some people thank their lucky strikes, and some people thank their lucky stars. As I looked at this and I began to research, where did the concept of thanking your lucky stars come from? Well, actually, it came from some old astrologers who believed that the stars had a powerful sway upon the universe, and that the stars would pull things certain way, and that the gravitational pull would pull things so that when the stars were pulling one way, that mean that good things would come to your life, and when the stars were going against you, then that means that bad things would come. And so people say, well, when good things were coming, that was the power of the stars, that was the power of the universe, and it was pulling things my way. And because good things are being pulled my way, I thank thank my lucky stars. And even people began to develop that into a science. And you can go in every day. Once again, I know some folk getting raised up on some toes now, but that's all right. I'm not aiming at your toes. I'm aiming at your heart. Every day, well, can't wait to get the newspaper. Look up the horoscope. And now this determines whether I'm going to speak to you or not when I see you a little bit later. You know, I look at my horoscope and it tells me what to do for the day, because you see the stars are working together, and because the stars are influencing my life, I need to see what's being said. You know, the fifth dimension sang about it. When the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, and peace will guide the planets and love will steer the stars. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. And so some folk thank their lucky stars because that has been what has influenced and have impacted their lives. And then some people thank nature. They just thank Mother Nature. Once again, doing some research, trying to find out where this whole idea of Mother Nature came from. Actually, it referred to a goddess. Mother Nature was the goddess of living water, and that everything in this earth tapped into Mother Nature. And Mother Nature provided life for the trees, that Mother Nature would allow water to flow into the trees. That Mother Nature allows water to flow into the green grass and all the things that we find. Mother Nature allows life and life-giving powers to flow into the animals and the fish and the bird. And Mother Nature allows life to flow into people. And so when you want to thank somebody, you need to thank Mother Nature. Thank Mother Nature because she has provided life. Now, is that... began to think, I said, well, you know, all those things are good. And it's good to thank people. It's good to thank goodness. I'm not sure about luck and stars. You know, I just want to say this. Well, let me move on. Then I'm going to come back and I'm gonna say something. So we go and we thank all these things. You know, it's just like the little boy, 8-year-old boy, sitting at the table. They were around the turkey, and somebody said, why don't you give thanks? And he had his brother there who was 4 years old, and the little boy began to say, I thank you for the truck that bought the turkey to the store. I thank you for the store that put it on the shelf. I thank you for the people at the register that checked us out. I thank you for the car that I brought my dad home with the turkey from the store. I thank you for the oven that we have to be able to cook the turkey. I thank you for mom who knew how to cook the turkey. And he said, is there anything else I need to thank you for? And his little brother said, what about thanking God? And he said, well, I was getting around to that. You know, isn't that a lot of us? Well, I was getting around to it. You know, we thank people. We thank Mother Nature. We thank goodness. When are we going to thank God? When are we going to put God at the center of our thanks? When are we going to put God at the center of our gratefulness? Now, as I think about it, what's the problem with thanking people? Well, there's a couple problems with thanking people. First of all, if you look in Psalm 60, you will see the problem of thanking people. In Psalm 60 and verse 11. Psalm 60 and verse 11. And here the psalmist says, give us help from trouble. The psalmist is crying out to God, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Man's help is vain. What does that mean? That we can thank people for the things they do, and we need to be thankful, and we need to thank people for the things that we do. But if I realize that in the end that my ultimate thanks goes to an individual, then I've come up short. because man's help is vain. It's only temporary. And man's help is limited. You can go and you can get help from man, and he can help you get through a situation. He can help you get to a certain point, but man's help is not omnipotent. Man's help is not all-powerful. Man's help comes up short. And then one of the things that you find out very quick in life is that man will leave you, and you'll be all by yourself. But thank God that we have a God that says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thank God that we have a God that says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Man was so serious about God being with him that he said that I'm not going to fly. He said, I'm not going to fly. I'm afraid to fly. And somebody asked him, well, why are you afraid to fly? He said, because I'm not getting up in the airplane. He said, well, God is going to take care of you. He said, no, the scripture makes it very clear that God will not be with you in the airplane. And he said, well, what scripture are you talking about? He said, well, Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. He didn't say anything when you got high. He said, lo. Well, I just want to tell you, high or low, God is with you at all times. It don't make any difference where you're at. And the help of people comes to an end. Somebody said, well, I thank goodness. Well, when you think about that, God is the only person that's good. Jesus said, why call you me good? There's only one good, and that's God. Oh, but I tell you what I like. Look at Psalm 33. Psalm 33 and verse 5. Psalm 33 and verse 5. It says, he loveth righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The earth is full of God's goodness. There would be no goodness in the earth if it wasn't for God. Do you realize that this earth is cursed? Do you realize that the reason when you pick up a rose and you hit a thorn in the rose, that's a result of the curse? Do you realize that we have the whole law of atrophy that says that the universe, or entropy, that says that the universe is winding down and the earth is being destroyed? Why is that? Because we live on a cursed earth. There's no goodness in this earth. The only goodness in the earth is what God has put here. So why am I going to thank goodness? I need to thank God, because God is good, and God is the one who put goodness in the earth. Some people say, well, I thank luck. You know, I thank the luck, and I believe that. And let me say this, and I get convicted, because sometimes I slip up, and I say it, and I correct myself real quick. But I never tell anybody, good luck. There's no such thing as luck. You know what is luck? Well, luck is a favoring chance. Well, where does that come from? Where does luck come from? Where can you trace luck to? Where will luck lead you to? There's no such thing as luck, especially for the child of God. When God says that he works all together for good to them that love him, yet and still, you know, once again, I try to keep that in mind, but, you know, sometimes folks slip up and they say good luck. I always say, well, I wish you the best. God be with you. May God be glorified. I don't say good luck, because luck is a force, they tell us, that brings either good fortune or adversity. What do you trace luck to? I'd rather have a God, as I read Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, as I understand what Nebuchadnezzar found out in Daniel chapter 4, when he said in verse 34, he said, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praise and honored him who liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what are you doing? Wow. Wow. Luck? Everything is under God's control. Now, for those of you who wrestle with the fact that bad things happen under God's control, then I encourage you to go back and get the message that I preached last week. Because we talked about that. Why do bad things happen to good people? There are some things in life that are crooked that'll never be straight. We talked about that last week, so I don't have time to get into it this morning. But we delved into that subject last week. But all I'm going to say is here, there's no such thing as luck when God is in control. Now, if sometimes people ask me, well, how are you doing today? And I said, well, I'm doing all right as long as God is on the throne. Well, you know one thing I don't have to worry about? Is God getting off the throne. Because, you see, if God gets off the throne, then I'm in trouble. And then I'm going to need some luck. Oh, hallelujah. Then I'm going to need a little luck. You know, if God is not on the throne, then I need some luck. And maybe, people say, well, God is a crutch to some people. You know, he's just something that they lean on. That, you know, he's not real. There's not really a God. He's just a crutch that people believe in. Well, if he's a crutch, then I want a walker. I want a cane. I want it all because I want to lean on him. But I believe that luck is a crutch that folk lean on. I believe that luck. Well, you know, I just need luck. You know, I'm going to Vegas. I need a little luck now. Lady Luck, be on my side. And they done fixed the dice, right? You don't have a chance, right? Where's luck at then? Man, you better put your faith in God. You better put your trust in God. Some people say, well, you know, I'm trusting the stars that they look up there and they believe that the stars, you know, when they align a certain way, that my will is in the alignment of the stars. And that once they line up, then I can sit down and I can read my horoscope because the stars are telling me what to do. So I thank my lucky stars that I can know what it is that I'm supposed to do. Look at Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. Job 38 in verse 31. God is responding to Job's challenge. Job had gone through all type of pain and suffering in his life, and Job asked the question, where's God at? And God finally shows up, and look what God tells Job in verse 31. Can you bind the sweet influences of Pleiades? And Pleiades was a stellar constellation that was out there in the universe. Or can you loose the bands of Orion? You know, these mighty stars that are out there moving through space at astronomical rates of speed. These stars that fill the universe. God says to Job, can you bind them? Can you tie up the sweet influences of Pleiades? Or can you loose the bands of Orion, the stellar constellations? Can you bring forth the Maseroth in its season? Or can thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Do you have power over the stars? God said to Job, I have power over the stars. I've set the stars in place. I've set them in motion. I've flung them out there in space, and they are moving and being guided by my finger, by my hand, constantly. Can you do that, Job? Why in the world am I going to read a newspaper that is...
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Who Do the Unbelievers Thank? If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Who Do the Unbelievers Thank? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Who Do the Unbelievers Thank? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Who Do the Unbelievers Thank? or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.